The Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast. Now there's a reason to celebrate. Just like Chemist Warehouse celebrating the footy finals with the half price cosmetics sale. Hurry in. Sale ends September 24. Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day. This is the Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast.
Aliens are real. Aliens are real and they're here. And you know how for quite some time now, and we even spent an entire week speaking with specialists interested in the field last year.
We did UFO week.
That's right. And you can hear all of those interviews on our podcast. Pete, Matt and Kim are on the listener app. Very interesting stuff. But I've heard this in the last 24 hours, and this audio is absolutely blowing my mind, right? And it's from former intelligence officer David Grush. This is over to the US that we're going. And he's made claims of potential extraterrestrial life. Now, he did this in front of what they call a Senate committee hearing, right? Which is where, you know, in the US, you stand in front of Congress and they pepper you with a whole heap of questions and say, why this, why this, why this, why this? And he had, as someone who worked within the US Department of Defense, he had a lot of information that basically said, I believe unexplained anomalous phenomena, which is what they're calling UFOs these days, are real. And he has reason to believe that the US government actually has extraterrestrial beings, bodies, and technology that they've been holding on to since the 1930s.
Oh, Pete, if you're suggesting that a government would have any kind of cover-up, I won't be a part of it.
Tell me more while you've got your...
Oh, God, I couldn't even get to the end of the sentence without saying that seriously.
Take your tinfoil hat off before you tell me stuff like that.
You know, it's permanently fixed to my head.
I've got a bit of audio here. I just want you to have a listen to this piece of audio.
Okay.
Mr. Grush, have you faced any retaliation or reprisals for any of your testimony or anything?
Yeah, it was very brutal and very unfortunate, some of the tactics they used to hurt me both professionally and personally, to be quite frank.
Do you have any personal knowledge of people who have been harmed or injured in efforts to cover up or conceal these extraterrestrial technology?
Yes.
Have anyone been murdered that you would that you know of?
I have to be careful asking that question.
Now, this guy is saying this in front of, like, very important people. He's under oath on this stuff. Do you believe? I'll say it again. Do you believe?
I believe anything is possible, right? I'm open to anything being possible. But if that guy goes missing in a couple of days, we'll have more to talk about.
Yep.
Just saying.
I want to be the group of people that welcome the new overlords, and we've got it on record. All right?
You know that the real overlords are octopus... and squid.
No, we're not getting onto seafood, mate. Let's stay away from seafood because I know where you go. We'll be here for another 15 minutes if we start talking about seafood and you.
Pete, Matt and Kimber.
Kimber, it's time for you to tell us a story about how you crushed a man's soul with your big hands.
Hey, that is not fair, Pete.
Isn't it?
It's true.
Tell the story and we'll find out if it's fair or not.
Say it like that.
Go on.
Well, you know, love is a very special thing, and everlasting love, look, it's hard to find. And that might be because we're not reasonable humans, I'm guessing. I've seen this post online of someone's posted this screen grab because their boyfriend dumped them because they got a new piercing. And
where was this piercing, though?
I don't know where the piercing is. The boyfriend just said, I really don't like your piercing. And she said, well, look, I don't know what to tell you. And he went, well, I think I'm done with this.
Which is flat out.
She said, well, if that's your final answer, then okay. And he went, yeah, that piercing has made me find you really unattractive.
Where do you think the piercing was? Because for me, like something like that, it has to be like a, I don't know, like a giant ring through one side of the head and out the other. You know what I mean? For it to be a deal breaker.
Even then, is it? I mean, piercings don't bother me. I'm not at all affected by them.
Yeah, okay.
But I've been this fickle. Mm. I have been. I know I have because I did dump that guy with small hands.
You need to go on.
They just felt like when you held them in your hand, it felt like you were holding not the hand of a child, but like just.
You can say it felt like the hand of a child.
Well, sound creepy.
No, but you dumped him. That's where it goes up.
You know, it's just like you'd hold hands like crossing the street and it felt like I was, it was like when you grab him and you go, look left, look right. Okay, kids, hold my hand.
Did you ever tell him? Were you ever honest or did you just let it go?
No, I just, you know, for whatever reason, just said it wasn't the right timing and things went great.
It's not you, it's me.
You can't say that to a person because he didn't need to have a complex over it. It was only my personal taste. Other people have no problems with his tiny little doll hands.
Mm, like children. Other people...
You know, it's just how it is.
Right.
So I don't think that's unusual, is it?
No, it's
Have
not.
Have you ever dumped someone for something really petty or someone dumped you for something petty?
I'm sure I've been dumped plenty of times for something incredibly petty. But I know that it was her side profile.
Oh, no, don't, because I've got a bad side profile. I'm that person.
We went out and it was a great date, like incredible, you know, and the entire time, obviously, at dinner, you spend the whole night staring at each other front on.
Yeah, and then, that's why she made you sit opposite, angle.
I drove her home and she was looking ahead in the car and I sort of looked to the left to look at her and I caught her side profile and I was like, I'm not sure how I feel about this.
That's
my
worst nightmare.
I never saw her again.
I always thought that about, I have quite a large nose. It's an unnecessarily large nose. I don't know what it's for, but I've always felt that that is what I deal with my side profile. And I had no idea I've been dumped for it my whole life.
Well, I'm glad now you know why we all duck whenever you turn around.
Donna in Currumbine, how about you? What was the petty reason you dumped someone?
He had snotty nose.
What? What do you mean he had snotty nose?
On our first date, so many, many years ago, at a blue light disco.
Yeah.
You know, and I was sort of having a dance with him then, and as the strobe light sort of hit the nose, it's like... The hell, it was sort of glistening.
Oh,
and
no.
I thought, that's okay. You know, these things happen. And then he asked me on another date the next week just to go shopping. And we're out and I've looked up at him and there's this giant green snot just hanging there.
Oh.
And I couldn't look him in the face because I thought, oh, that's embarrassing. You know, and I didn't, obviously too young and too embarrassed to tell him.
Yep.
You know, so.
How long did you put up with it for, Donna?
At least 2 hours.
Oh.
I know. And I think he thought everything was going nice, holding hands and everything. And then, he tried to kiss me and I thought, oh, no way.
It's not the way all dates end where you're just putting a tissue to his nose and going, blow, blow.
Beck in Mandurah, good morning. Petty reason you dumped someone.
He peed my bed.
Was he six?
No, 36.
Oh, God. Okay, I wouldn't even take this one as petty.
See,
that's a flat, straight good reason.
Beck, I mentioned that I knew three separate women who went on to marry men who pooed in their beds, and these boys thought it was ridiculous, but it happened. So I feel like the standards are dropping, and I'm glad that you stuck to your guns.
Yeah, no. My kids don't pee their beds. He shouldn't have peed my bed.
Aaron sent a text from Welshpool saying he dumped a chick because she made crappy sandwiches.
Oh, that's a naughty no-no.
Doesn't like a good sandwich. Yeah. Wants a good sandwich, couldn't get one.
I can't blame him. Justine and Bassendine. Oh, I like that. It rhymes. Hey, Justine.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Justine, tell us how petty you are. Why did you dump them?
Because when they kiss, their teeth scrape my whole face. It was disgusting. It's all about the kiss.
It is about the kiss. You know, you can think back to kisses that were not great kisses and you can still feel them in your mouth.
Unless you're kissing a horse, Justine, I don't even know how that's anatomically possible.
Oh, no, it was not good. He was very, very nice, lovely person, but
But there's no time for that kind of training.
Yeah, nice guys finish last.
Ain't nobody got time for
that. Donna in Bankshire Grove, petty reason you dumped someone. Good morning.
Hi, how you going?
Good.
He told me how to clean the fish tank, so I packed up my kids and left.
Was that a euphemism?
Were you
no.
Already cleaning the fish tank and he wasn't happy with the job, or was he like, I'm off to work today, do the fish tank while I'm gone?
No. I'd started cleaning the fish tank and he didn't like the way I was doing it. So
What do you mean he didn't like the way you were doing it? What were you doing?
I don't know. He probably has a little bit more patience than me. So, and then he turned around and he started telling me, no, you don't do it like that. And I was just like, dumped all the fish tank stuff and just was like, kids, pack your bags, we're out of here.
You must have really liked him, Donna. Wow, really into that guy.
I feel like there was something more going on there. Sophie and Yanship, Petty, reason you dumped someone?
Because he consistently had a bath and not a shower and just kept bathing in his own dirt and he wouldn't take my hints. And I was like, I'm sorry, I'm not married to a toddler, going out with a toddler, I've got to leave.
Oh, but Sophie, isn't it funny though? Like, if that was a woman having a bath every night, we'd probably call that self-care.
No, you've got to have a shower. Like, oh, the dirt is just sitting there and then you get out and then you run it again and the dirt's sitting there and it just constantly happens.
It's a soup, isn't it? It's a dirt soup, Sophie.
Yeah, it's gross.
It's all right. We asked for a petty reason. That's it.
I was flicking around the listener app, our app where our podcast is yesterday, Kimber, Pete Matt and Kimber podcast, came across another one that I listened to. It's called The Streaming Service with Justin Hill. Mm-hmm. And it's basically just news and info on what's happening in entertainment. And I did see this that made me go, oh, please be true.
Now the show is being rebooted. Warner Brothers Casting have put out a call today for potential contenders to take part in the show where they'll go up against a new batch of gladiators.
Gladiators! Very exciting.
Apparently coming back. So auditions are taking place. They're asking for people in their peak physical condition. But as soon as I saw the word gladiator, oh, and also a little extra bit, Dr. Chris Brown, who's moved from 10 to 7, apparently, not confirmed yet, but apparently his chiseled jaw is going to be fronting it.
Mate, just quietly, he's been in peak physical condition his whole career.
Right? It's a good option.
Yeah, I haven't peaked yet. I should enter now in the hope that I'm in my peak condition.
Well, you'd be 90s gladiator. Right, which is like, I'm a stay-at-home whatever, or I do this, or I'm a technician from work, or, you know, like something like that.
Yeah.
But it made me think, name a TV show that this generation has probably never heard of. Because when we did come in here this morning going, Rami the producer, Kara the producer, oh my God, Gladiators is coming back. Both of them were like, what's Gladiators?
Yeah. It was not, you know, there's a few in there that we thought people would know. I said to you, you can't do that on television.
Yeah, so I didn't know that. Now,
I mean, we grew up on you can't do that on television. It was a sketch comedy, loved it. It was our everyday, everyone, it's what we talked about.
So sketch comedy for me was Full Frontal and Fast Forward.
Yeah, and we did, but they were like they were a bit later. You can't do that on television was amazing.
See, there's only 5 years between us.
I know, and yet.
And you can miss something.
Huge gaps.
Yeah. I discovered, I think Disney. I think on Disney Plus at the moment, I couldn't believe it when I came across this. Home Improvement is on there.
Gee, that's been a while.
Tim the Tool Man Taylor.
Yeah, cute.
Name a TV show this generation has never heard of. Let's get started. Ross in Kelmscott, what do you got?
Captain Planet.
Classic
Captain
cartoon.
Captain Planet, he's a hero.
Gonna take pollution down to zero. Every afternoon after school. Ross, now let me ask you a question, right? Because we would play Captain Planet at school, and there was the five rings, earth, fire, wind, water. Nobody ever wanted to be heart. No, that was a poop power. Nobody understood what heart ever did.
And look where it got us in the world, Pete. Look where it got us. We needed more heart.
We've got Jamie Lee and Medina. Name a TV show this generation hasn't heard of.
Charmed. Oh, okay. Jamie Lee, you will love our podcast where producer Rami talked about Charmed for a considerable amount of time because he's watching it all back again.
Yep, and he's this generation.
Yeah, loved
it. So, as heard, Amy in Forestfield, what do you got?
It's a knockout. I don't know if you guys remember that show.
Amy, it was the greatest TV show in the 80s ever.
It was amazing. I loved it. It's actually kind of gladiator-esque, I suppose.
Yeah, It's a Knockout was, quite frankly, the greatest family TV show, Pete. It was when families actually sat around the TV together and watched TV.
Does this bring back memories for you? The distance you can hear,
the sound. Honestly, we can feel our hearts soaring. The roar of
the listen to that.
It is a bit of a daggy theme song now.
Sounds like the Australian national anthem.
It was the Australian national anthem. That's how it felt at the time. And these people running around in these giant big costumes and falling over each other, and it was excellent.
Some coming through on the text, Happy Days, The Jetsons, Home Improvement, you can't do that on television.
Getting a lot of votes for Round the Twist, which was one of the best Australian dramas and kind of children's shows, I think, going around. I loved it so much. I went to Victoria to see The Lighthouse.
No kidding. What was it like being there?
It was an excellent show. I don't know. It was pretty weird watching standing outside the lighthouse.
We've got Susie. Good morning to you, Susie. Name a TV show this generation hasn't heard of.
Ship to Shore.
Oh, we loved Ship to Shore. See, that was our big claim to fame, Suze, going to Leeming Hose, because we all went to school with Clinton Voss.
Who was Clinton Voss? Which one was Clinton Voss?
You know, he was the main. Oh, I'm going to have to look it up now. The redhead dude.
It was those pan pipes. See, what you should have said is we went to school with the red-haired dude.
Oh, is that enough
for you?
That's
the one for me.
Right? You would have known.
This, I come back to this all the time. I need to go back there and have a look, right? Igor Suss, who
Kelvin
played...
Kelvin Crump.
Kelvin Crump. Ah, oh, Crump, of course. Igor Suss, who played Andrew on the show, I swear he's pouring coffees at Banjup Local.
Igor
I swear
Suss
that's his cafe.
Is an absolute national delight of an actor. He is one of the best stage actors in this country.
He's a legend. Absolutely. I'm going to go through today and go and find out if he's there and that's his cafe.
He'll be around.
Elise in Averley, hit us with a TV show this generation has never heard of.
Oh, look, just quietly, I've been watching Home Improvement. And any of the kids in my class, I actually show them Round the Twist as well because it's really good for the kids and they love it. But the show that they wouldn't heard of is Young Talent Time.
Oh, and the talent we had. The Danny Minogues, the Tina Arenas. I mean, it had everything.
It sure did. And I still actually have episodes on VCR that we used to tape because it was my favourite show. And I still have the episodes on video cassette, which I can't watch anymore because who has one of those?
That's true. What was the song they used to sing when they got together at the end and they'd all put their arms around each other?
All My Loving.
Oh, that's right.
All My Loving, I will send to you.
Oh, thanks, Elise. Oh, totally forgot what song
gear.
It was.
Chantelle in Wellard here before we go to the break. Just quickly, a TV show this generation has never heard of.
Who Dares Wins?
Oh, brilliant.
Great. Mike Whitney.
What a show. I mean, Who Dares Wins? For those who didn't know, Mike Whitney would host that. He'd just walk through shopping centres in Australia and just pick a person and go, hey, you, come here. I'll give you $50 if you eat this snail. Like that. Chantelle, I've been getting, I got a text message from Max in Gosnells this morning. He also said Who Dares Wins. And I said, yeah, $50 to eat a snail. And Max wrote back, yeah, $300 to tightrope across two buildings.
Oh, my God.
And I was like,
yeah,
that
I remember
is the
those.
Kind of gear it was. It was like $75 to risk your life.
Emily and Glen Forest, what do you got for us?
Hey, my memory's a bit hazy on this one, but Blinky Bill?
Yes.
What do you mean by your memory's a bit hazy?
Oh, I was really young when I was watching this. And there was a computer program where you could manipulate the characters, and I'm sure it was Blinky Bill, but I distinctly remember watching that as a child.
Absolutely. Early 90s. This was a classic cartoon for us after school.
Oh, Blinky.
Yeah, Blinky Bill.
Just a general nice dude.
We've
a
got
general nice koala.
Maurice in Double View. Good morning. What do you got for us?
Let the Blood Run Free.
Maurice. I loved Let the Blood Run Free.
Oh, I was addicted to it.
It was so funny. Do you know what? And you're right. A lot of people don't talk about this show. For those of you who don't know, I mean, it was like basically the Melbourne comedy scene. It was Gene Kitson, Peter Rosethorn. There was like a whole series of these wonderful actors who did these outrageous shows set in a hospital.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, look, you know, body parts going everywhere as they're doing surgery and, you know, the conversations between them. You had to be quick to get it, but I loved it. It was so funny. A bit sick, but, you know.
I don't even think they'd probably be allowed to put it on air now. It was a bit sick.
All right. I want to see it.
I can't believe we've never asked Peter Rosethorn about it. He's been in here that many times and I've never thought to ask him about it.
He lives back in Perth. We should get him on and have a chat about it. But I'm so glad that this one has come up. Marinko in Gosnells, hit us.
How you going?
Good.
I remember, yeah, coming back from school, and first thing I put on TV was Passions. I forgot what, maybe Channel 7? I can't remember, but yeah, Passions was one of the good ones.
Passions, I remember. Little Timmy.
Little Timmy. Now, I've got a bit of audio here, right, for everybody who is a Passions fan. Take a listen to this. This is the moment that the witch brings Little Timmy to life.
I said, isn't that right, Timmy? Timmy!
Now, this was on after school when you'd come home as young kids.
That's right, Tabitha. We're going to win. We're going to win. Poor Grace. Poor Grace.
It's creeping me out already. I'm creeped out by it. It was unbelievably 9 seasons.
I believe it.
9 seasons of Passions. But you know what was really disturbing about it?
What's that?
Was that the day, so basically little Timmy had to go and have surgery, the actor himself.
Is this in real life?
In real life. He needed to have surgery.
Yep.
And the writers decided to write him out of the show by killing off his character because they were like, he's going to be gone for too long and we can't do anything about it. So they killed off his character. The day that that episode aired where his character died, the actor died in real life.
It's so freaky. Because I do remember watching the show. I absolutely remember watching the show. And a little while into, I can't remember which season it was, little Timmy changed. There was a new actor playing little Timmy.
Well, we know why.
Right. I think the witch, Tabitha, just recently, we got news in the last sort of couple of days gone as well.
Yeah, she passed away only in the last week or two, I think.
Anyway, on that happy note, last week, Kimber, you revealed that you bought a chainsaw.
I did, and did my own backyard and cut all the trees down. And
all the lily pillies.
I said, I'm good at this. I was scared, but I'm good at it. And I offered to go out to listeners' houses to chop down anything that they required.
Anything, anywhere, anytime. Was what you said. The bookings came flooding in for Kimber's Chainsaw Services, which went out to its first job yesterday. Take a listen.
Kimber's Chainsaw Services. Good luck.
So you're in army camo pants.
Yep.
You've got plaid.
It's the lumberjack uniform.
All right, mate.
But I haven't put my steel cap boots on yet because they've got dog poo on the bottom of them.
On day one of our first job and you're coming up with dog poo boots. What a great first impression.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm Kimber from Kimber's Chainsaw
Service.
Nice to
meet
you. How are you?
Hello, Tanya. I'm Pete.
I've actually got 3 things for you if you want to go hard. Right, we're good. Kimber's Chainsaw Service.
So is this your waiver?
Trade agreement. That's all it is. It's a trade agreement. I've made muffins.
Yeah. What muffins?
Lemon.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Let's get in there.
Okay.
What a great first day. There's 3 big trunks on this tree. The tree's about 4 metres high.
But it looks like a really nice tree.
That's the tree.
See, I was expecting to rock up and find some sort of horrible, spiky, nasty tree. This thing looks like absolutely covered in fruit. It looks super happy. I almost feel bad taking it down.
This is a big tree. This is bigger than what I thought it would be.
I'll knock it down. I'll get that. You watch me go.
Yeah, but are you like, okay. So it's 1 metre away from a fence. There's chickens next door we found out.
I can do this.
Can you?
Yep, I know where to get that.
Where are you going
to
get it?
And there's plenty of places for it to land. I feel confident.
I'm not confident. There's a cubby on the other. Oh, there we go. Jeez, look at her once she turned it on. Okay, everybody stand right back.
5 metres, everyone, 5 metres.
Just to set the scene.
Oh.
Is the plug turned on?
I'm pretty sure it's live.
God damn it.
Turn the chainsaw on and just see. Yay! That was very well done. I was very concerned about how you were going to get that branch down that was hanging over the chook fence. I mean, it's going well so far.
You might need a new radio, buddy. This could take off.
This could take off. It really could take off. Oh, God. Oh, no, I'm nervous about this because it's high. It's a high cart. Where's that going?
Back it up.
Whoa! Shit. Oh, my God! Kimber! Are you okay? Are you alright? Jesus Christ!
I think it's going to be okay, but I think I'm going to have to hit it higher.
You really have to keep a 5 metre radius around here because she's swinging that thing like it's a bat and she's ready to hit a home run.
I'm going
to
knock that whole chunk down and then I'm going to get a bit more access. I think it's going to be in a few parts because this is too heavy to knock down altogether.
Tanya, so you're Kimber's Chainsaw Services first customer.
Yes.
Are you impressed?
I would say 4.5 stars.
4.5?
Yeah.
Which is the half missing?
Where we thought Kimber was flattened underneath the tree.
Almost dead.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
That brought it down a little bit.
Yep, gotcha.
Yep. Other than that, true professional.
The complications with this tree was that obviously it was very spiky and growing over a fence and right near a cubby house, but I feel like I've avoided all the major tragedies here.
I just think the fact that, you know, you didn't die when we all thought you'd died.
Yeah, that bit was your favourite.
Probably my favourite.
Yeah. Given that they don't have a Verge collection or a bin to put it in, I feel like we're a little bit stumped there.
Yes. Oh, I see what you did there.
Hey?
Hey, ding.
I've been in the industry long enough to make puns.
So Kimber's Chainsaw Services out in Rivervale yesterday.
Yeah. To those of you who were sad about me knocking down a tree with lots of fruit, there are a lot of people upset about that. I want you to know, we don't know what the fruit is.
Yeah.
I can describe it as orange in colour, sour lemon in taste, grapefruit in texture, but in mandarin segments. And it was not very nice.
Rami, the producer, took a box of it home.
It wasn't very nice.
He took a box of it home.
And it's very, very spiky and dangerous, so it had to go.
So that was job number one. Job number two was going out to Mount Hawthorne and to Linda's place.
Job number two was a stitch-up, Pete.
Was it?
It was a stitch-up.
I don't know it was a stitch-up. You said anything, anywhere, anytime. If it can be cut, I'll cut it.
I don't think I can be quoted as saying that. And producer Rami locked in going to Linda's place and... basically, it was like to cut up a kitchen bench. Now, I feel like it was like sending a sparky out to a plumber's job. I didn't have the correct equipment. You know, you don't use a chainsaw traditionally to cut a kitchen bench.
Good tradie doesn't blame their tools, Kimber.
Well, I didn't have the tools. There were no tools to blame.
Are you kidding? There were three tools standing around the entire time. So this was Linda's review.
Well, I'll give you 5 stars for trying and coming out and not making me wait for 4 hours.
Uh-huh, thanks.
Job wasn't finished though, was it?
No, it wasn't.
No. Maybe 3.
3 stars.
Yeah.
3 stars.
For effort.
Now, I mean, 3 stars. I mean, what do you want for free, for first thing? second. Right, so we've got a little bit of audio of you trying to get your head around this job.
Look, what do you want to do? You want me to give it a go, don't you?
Of course. Yes.
I don't want to wreck your chainsaw.
But
now you were so stressed
because I put
about
it to,
your chainsaw.
Because the last thing that happened before I left the studio was our boss saying to us, please be careful, do the right thing. And in terms of safety, I knew I was looking at this going, what do you guys want to do? How are we going to do it? And you lot were just like, oh, we'll probably just lean it up against the letterbox and it'll be all right.
Yep.
I mean, it didn't really feel like any of you had any idea what was going on and no one was considering safety but me.
I mean, all I'm going to say is plot twist. I had to step in.
Right? Yeah.
And I managed to cut it just fine, like butter.
Oh, don't get me wrong. You did an incredible job of ruining my chainsaw. Really nailed it.
I did not ruin your chainsaw.
Do you see? Watch the video and see how quickly I take down a tree and how long it takes to get that chainsaw through the kitchen bench. It was labor intensive.
I was taking my time because it was very dangerous.
And not so at all.
Videos on socials for Kimber's Chainsaw Services. Check them out on the Mix Facebook and the Mix Instagram right now.
And this is how I'm going to up my reviews there, Pete,
okay.
Is because I do feel bad that we couldn't complete the job for Linda. And Linda had, I didn't even know how much kitchen bench there to do. It was a huge job. So because I didn't finish the job, our mates at 1-800-GOT-JUNK are going to go out to Linda's and take it away. What a bunch of legends.
Thank you very much, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
I've organised it. They're going to come out there, Linda. They're going to remove the bench top. So a massive thank you to our friends at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Then they're going to swing past here and pick up your broken chainsaw on the way back to the depot.
My favourite part was you were like, it'll be fine if we break it. Mix will buy a new chainsaw, won't they? And Dan yelled out, no! No, they won't! Pete, Matt and
Kimber! Okay, I need to say something before I talk about this. I think the world is a weird and funny place, and it's fun to laugh at funny things occasionally, but my version of funny might be different to other people's versions of funny.
This sounds like when people start a statement with, like, I'm not racist, but. It's well, like, I'm kind of in that realm.
Let me tell you about...
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Yep.
Let me tell you about... Ricardo Ten Argiles, who is a Spanish paracyclist who was last week crowned the world champion in 3 separate events at the 2023 World Championships in Glasgow, Scotland.
Wow.
Let me also tell you about the fact that the headline was Paralympic cyclist receives worst trophy gift ever.
Okay. Mm. Oh, dear. Someone hasn't thought this through.
Now, so many people have not thought this through. Now, Ricardo, is his Paralympic gift is the fact that he doesn't have any hands or wrists.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So how's he, what's his cycle? Like, how's he doing that?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter with his story.
Okay.
Right. What matters is that Tissot.
Oh, no.
Who's a watch brand.
Oh.
are one of the major sponsors of this event. And guess what they gave him?
Oh, they gave him a really expensive watch.
Two of them.
No. Why?
So I'm just going to say this again.
Oh.
At the UCI 2023 World Championships in Glasgow, Scotland, where Ricardo Ten Argiles, the Spanish paracyclist with no hands or wrists, was awarded his prize by Tissot. They gave him two watches.
What? So how did he receive it? I bet he received
how
it with
grace. How did
he
receive
oh,
it?
I don't mean like,
how did he receive it?
I mean,
what kind of question is that?
I didn't mean how it like that. It? I meant how
not
was
with
it?
With his hands, Kimber.
I meant how was it received? As in, I bet he was really gracious.
Bless this guy. So gracious. I so bet. Incredibly gracious. And there's audio, like the audio of him receiving it is one thing.
Yeah.
We've actually got audio of somebody who's clearly a friend of his having a bit of a laugh with him afterwards. And this just goes for me to the point of just the sort of man that this bloke must be. Take a listen to this.
Ricardo, what time is it? The world champion time.
So that's Ricardo, world champion time, baby. And in that video, he's got the watches up on his arm, up near his shoulder. So go, you legend, in your good graces. And thank you
man.
For just giving us a little bit perspective on how good life is these days.
We got one!
Okay, hit us with what you've come across, Kimber.
Okay, so I went and I checked out some theatre this week.
Yes,
we produce fantastic theatre in this city. And I went and saw the Hypotheticals at the State Theatre Centre. And it was a great show, a great show. Sarah Rubin, Jeffrey J. Fowler, local artists, and they have created a piece that is about a gay man deciding whether or not he wants to have a baby with his best female friend. And the two of them have reached their late 30s and they haven't got partners and they're sort of going, you know what, I think maybe I'd like a child. Would you like a child? Is this something we could do together?
Oh, it's a great premise. It's a great premise.
You know, they throughout the show, they're hypothetically working out if they were to have a baby together, what that would be like.
Yeah, okay.
Now, I know people who have done this, who went, yep, we both want a baby, but we're not in a relationship. We don't want to be with each other. And they've had to come up with a parenting agreement. And there's been a lot of paperwork. It's a lot of arranging things, but they've managed to do it. Now, it might not be everyone's ideal situation, but the thing is, what is now?
Yeah.
Back in the old days, it would be like everyone just gets married. Everyone's heterosexual, or so they thought, you know, let's get married. We have a baby together. We carry on.
Mm.
But now there are many, many ways you can do this. And I would like to know if you have a baby arrangement.
Yeah. I mean, I love this question because for me, coming from the traditional sort of, hey, husband and wife get married. We have three kids.
Yep.
There's so many hurdles and bumps and lumps along the way that you come across having those three kids just in your sort of standard traditional arrangement where, mm-hmm. like, you can see why, like, couples divorce down the track, how tough it can be, so on and so forth. So the idea of an arrangement between two people who might be friends but have to go through such an incredibly life-changing thing together,
yeah,
just blows my mind that it happens.
But in some ways, that's an incredible commitment because you don't have romance getting in the way in that circumstance. You know what I mean? There's nothing that really – it
or
doesn't
do
matter
you?
If things go a bit dry in the bedroom because it didn't happen in the first place.
Maybe the arrangement happened. And then maybe you found love afterwards because of that.
Maybe.
Maybe
and I mean,
the kid
lots
brought
of people,
you together.
You know, because I know I've got a lot of single female friends who are like, I'd like to have a baby. And there's men in their lives that they love and adore and think, well, that would be a good person to have a baby with. Maybe we don't need to have you playing a father role.
Yeah.
But I feel like you've got the genetic coding that I'd prefer. You know, there's a bit of that going on. So I don't know if anyone's going to want to chat to us about it, but I'd be really interested to know because I think it has actually crossed the minds of many. But while the producers have been having chats to people, they also got a call from somebody that I thought, we've also got questions.
Yeah, lots of questions.
Hello, Frankie in Beachborough.
Hi.
Frankie, you made a baby arrangement with a friend, not quite the same type, but what happened with you?
Me, I can't actually have kids. So one of my good friends said, well, we'll have kids together. And she's had three boys for me.
She went surrogate for you three times.
Yep.
See, that's more than a good friend. That's next level.
I've seen my wife go through this three times, and it is such a commitment. Your body changes, life changes, the whole thing. And there's a connection she's going to have with these kids that no amount of but you're having them for me is ever going to be able to get in front of. So, Frankie, how long have you two been friends for?
I've known her about 9-10 years.
And has she got children of her own, Frankie?
Yeah, we raise them together.
Oh, amazing. Okay, so you have an arrangement, so like you're parenting together.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
This is the first time I've ever heard of anything like this. Frankie, two friends.
She's pretty incredible.
Does it work out for you? Do you guys, do you agree on all the same things? Do you have the same issues that other parents face?
We do agree on everything. Pretty good. I'm FIFO, so we share custody. Just the only difference is there's two mums and no dad.
Wow. And so there's no romantic relationship with you. You're just friends.
Absolutely not, no.
That's amazing.
Wow.
It feels so giving. That is one hell of an arrangement, Frankie. I don't know how you separate that level of friendship. To me, that's
so many layers brilliant. To this. Thank you very much for your call this morning, Frankie. Thanks for sharing your story.
Yeah. Okay. Now, what have we got here? We got Trevor in Wanneroo. Hi, Trev.
How you going?
Good. Do you have a baby arrangement?
I do indeed.
Yeah. What did you guys do?
So going back 22 years or 23 years ago, I was asked if I'd be a donor to a female friend.
Yeah.
We were work colleagues and friends. We still work colleagues. We're not work colleagues now. We're still friends. And I decided I would be a donor. I was a gay male and I knew I wasn't going to have children. And I agreed to be the donor.
Trevor, now, given this was some time ago, and maybe the world's not as litigious as what it is now, did you guys have to do all the paperwork or did you just go, this is a friendly agreement, let's hope everything works out?
It was a friendly turkey baster agreement.
Merry Christmas.
Trevor, now, the child is 22 now, we've been told. Do you, even though, you were the donor, right, what's the connection that you have with this child? Do you see them as your own child in a way?
Yep, he calls me dad.
Oh, brilliant.
Unreal.
He's never lived with me, but he does come and visit me. When he was younger, he used to come and visit me more often because he's at school. Now he's working, lives in Brisbane with his mother, and we still have contact. I still have contact with him. And that's the way it is.
That's so there was amazing.
No onus on me to be paying any maintenance or anything like that.
Yeah.
And the only agreement was that if she decided to go ahead with, we had this child, she wasn't to go on any Centrelink payments. She would have to be able to maintain the child itself, but she did.
Wow. Gee whiz, Trev, what a great story.
Trevor, have you ever had any regrets over it? Do you feel like are you too removed or you'd like to be more involved or is it just great how it is?
I think it's fine the way it is. I mean, I'd like to see him a little bit more often. He's a 22-year-old young man, so I've been told young men at that age don't communicate that well with their fathers, especially if they're not living in the same state. So one day we'll have more contact, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah. Look, Trev, 22-year-olds living at home sometimes still don't have that much contact with their parents. So, you're not alone.
Wow, what a great story, Trev. Amazing. Thank you very much for that call.
The Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast. Now there's a reason to celebrate. Just like Chemist Warehouse celebrating the footy finals with the half price cosmetics sale. Hurry in. Sale ends September 24. Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.